Hi, I'm Mark Wade, and you're here with 15 Minutes with Mark Wade, the editor-in-chief of Boom Studios, and I'm here with...
Daphna.
And Ian Brill, editor, and this is a topic that I brought to the table.
Yeah, I believe we have a question from the audience.
Which might be the strangest thing we've ever talked about on this podcast.
Ian's been talking about this all week, by the way.
And that's been saying a lot.
Yeah.
But I recently had a move, and I found an old comic in that move, Secret
Origins...
He moved
it to my building.
Secret Origins something.
46.
46. That features three stories about... Well, he was the editor of that. It's
yeah,
not,
to yeah. be fair, I was the editor of that, so...
That features three stories about the Hideouts, Justice League, Teen Titans, and Legion of Superheroes. I sat down and read them. And I read them, the Justice League and Teen Titans one, but I've never read the Legion of Superheroes one. Well, there was a time where I bought every Grant Morrison book.
Okay.
And
he has the Justice League one, and so you didn't read the backup stories. I see. Okay.
I don't like Grant Morrison books to get to.
I'm just saying.
Read his Steve and Mrs. Peel book.
All right, so.
And I sat down and read the Legion of Superheroes one, and it is one of the most preposterous and brilliant stories I've ever read. It is about my friend's Fortress Lad. Who is Fortress Lad? He's the Legion of Superheroes hideout, who is also a person.
Yep.
Basically, Legion of Superheroes, it starts off with Cosmic Boy and Lightning Lad and Sound and Girl trying to find
a headquarters.
Hideout.
Let me back up.
Emphasis on headquarters?
Let me give some backstory on this, because there's an origin to this origin story. So at that point, I was doing Secret Origins, I was editing Secret Origins, which is our anthology book, and by that time, we had run out of the good origins. I mean, we're 46 issues in. We've done Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman and, Green Lantern and Green Arrow, and we're at issue 46. So now I'm thinking, how do you keep putting big names in the book, big characters in the book that people want to buy? And I thought, well, let's do the origins of their headquarters. That could be an interesting book, and it's more interesting than you think it was. You look at that look. I see that look you're giving me. But
that
it was,
just that Grant Morrison.
Grant Morrison's story is really
Kurt
good.
Swan's story is good.
And Grant Morrison did the origin of the Justice League's cavern headquarters, how they found the cave and what happened and stuff, and it was a good story. And the Teen Titans one was Marv Wolfman, I think, did okay.
It's about
and
Cyborg's dad. So,
like some, the yeah,
building.
How do we yeah. do the Titans Tower? And then I commissioned Gerard Jones to do a story on the Legion of Superheroes headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
So we turned in a great story, a really fun story. I don't want to say great story. It's not, yeah. Nobody should be polishing up their Eisner Awards for this, but so Jerry turns in this story, and I think it's neat.
Yeah.
And it's not the story you read. It's not at all the story you read.
Okay.
It is in fact, it's a story that was drawn by Kurt Schoppenberger, 12-page story, and it is the story of the Legion of Superheroes and their 30th Century Protectors, for those six of you who are listening to the podcast who don't know who the Legion are, teenagers in the 30th century who have their super team. And in this origin story, they're looking for a headquarters. They're trying to figure out where to go. And what happens is there's this rocket that comes from the sky.
Yeah.
And it lands in the middle of this park.
Yeah.
Let me also back up. Because I keep forgetting Daphne doesn't know any of this stuff, which is good. It's good that you don't, because you're forcing me to explain it to other people who don't. In original 60s comics, the Legion's headquarters looked like an upside-down rocket ship stuck in the ground. That's what it looked like. I can't help you. I only work here. I don't make this stuff up. It's just the way it looked. It was like a big, giant cylinder that, depending upon which artist drew it, looked either the size of a stadium or the size of my apartment. And it's just like you can't... Or sometimes
it is sort of like the TARDIS, because you would go in and then there's like, oh, here's our giant trophy room.
I know.
How did they fit that in there?
Here's our big monitor room. It's upstairs from where? It's like Snoopy's doghouse. It's like it's tiny.
Yeah.
And yet that was their headquarters. So I wanted to give the origin of the headquarters. Anyway, so Jerry writes the story. And so what happens is this rocket falls from the sky, lands in the ground, sticking up, and nobody can figure out what's inside. Like, they can't, like, the metal itself is impenetrable. They can't get inside the rocket. All the science police and all the world's authorities and all the scientists and stuff can't figure out a way. And so the Legion comes in and uses their superpowers to make their way inside the rocket ship. And once they're in it, they realize what it was. It came from the planet Krypton, because it's got all this stuff in it to give to young baby Kal-El. It's like the rocket they sent out after they sent out Kal-El's rocket. It's like, oh, you know, we need to send out a supply rocket, too. Like, here's some toys, and here's some Kryptonian literature, and here's some blankets.
It's blank. Christmas presents all the way through.
Exactly. Here's extra blankets and stuff like that. And so, and they realize this, and they realize, well, that's, you know, we're inspired by Superboy. This is fate, because this is all about...
So why does it land in the 30th century?
It goes through some time warp or something on the way. So it just, it's 1,000 years too late when it lands. But it's impenetrable metal.
Yeah.
So that's a good headquarters to have, as a Kryptonian headquarters and stuff. That's the story of the origin of the Fortress of Solitude. So we do the story, and it's drawn, it is inked, it is lettered, it is colored, it is ready to go.
Yeah.
And at this point, I got called on the carpet, because at that point, we were no longer allowed to make reference to Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes.
Oh, that's right. That was that time.
Back during a time when they weren't sure what Superman's continuity was, and is Superboy from a pocket universe? Is he from our universe? Which, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's not even worth... If you don't know the backstory, trust me, it's not worth getting into. But it was a big, giant continuity nightmare. So the book is going to press in like a week... And I have a giant 12-page hole in the comic and a cover that promises the origin to the headquarters of the Legion of Superheroes. And we have no idea what to do. And Casey Carlson, who is an editor at DC at the time, who we know, you know, who now is a columnist and a great guy and loves Legion as well as I do. And he's walking by and he says, well, you know, this is the perfect time for the origin of Fortress Lad.
Oh, yeah.
What? And so he just threw out the idea of Fortress Lad. So you can take the story from here. So
Fortress Lad. So while they're still looking for a headquarters, they're also testing out new members.
Right.
They apparently weren't too big on getting all their ducks in a row.
No, they've got, you know, it's a busy time for the Legion. They have to find a headquarters and they have to amass new memberships, new members.
They tested out this one guy who said, from my planet, when men...
Now let me back up. There was a few.
Is this canon that existed before the story was written, or was this, no, this sort is of also, like,
yeah.
look, we're, we have to fill in the we space?
Have to fill in, we have to fill in these 12 pages, so we are going to make this stuff up as we go, and it is, and
it's
so...
back when everyone had a flask and put it in their coffee, right?
A flask? We have a bottle of Jack Daniels.
In the water cooler.
You put coffee in your Jack Daniels.
We all had a desk like Lou Grant, so So who were the other? Now, I don't remember the name of the woman who...
Yeah, who took people's memories. That's the thing. I can't remember her name.
Mnemonic
Glass
or something like that, but it was, which is ironic. But the other person was, if you'll remember, was Arm Fall Off Boy.
Oh, right? Arm
Fall Off Boy.
What was his superpower?
He could use his own arms as weapons. He would pull an arm off and he
would use it as a club.
Swinging around like a club. Oddly, they did not choose to make him a member, but I love Arm Fall Off Boy.
That's a weird thing. Like in the 30th century, there are all these people running around with bizarre powers.
Sure, but just to let Ian jump back in here, the best thing about the story is that Arm Fall Off Boy was not the most unusual character in the story. So
there was a guy who said, you know, on my planet, because people get attacked by these weird alien creatures or something, when men reach puberty, they have the ability to turn their bodies into big fortresses, basically to hide other people inside from these birds of prey. And so, and what they look like is that they...
Why can't they all turn into fortresses, then?
Just only the...
Only the men, so this is to protect the young?
I suppose.
Okay.
I don't remember if it was a gender thing, but I'll take your word for it. You've read the story more recently than I have. Anyway, everybody in his world has the power to turn into a giant fortress.
Yeah, they look like, you know, they look like cylinders with little fins. Red fins out, but with their head on top.
Yep.
Like, their head stays the same, it's just their body.
Yeah. Oh, that's horrific.
Yep.
He's alright. He kind of looks like Uncle Fester a little bit.
A little bit.
And then when they say, that's kind of cool, but they don't really see a point to him because he can't move.
It's not a highly useful superpower. Yeah.
Or so they think.
Or so they think.
And then there was that woman who took people's memories, apparently took Mark and I's memory to remember her name. Right. And she said, I have the power to steal people's memories. I'm going to steal that little boy's ability to remember how to go home. And so she, like, points to a little boy across the street, and then he starts crying, doesn't remember how to go home. They're like, what? You're a horrible person. You can't have you.
That is high villainy. Yep.
And she says, you won't have me? Well, I'll go after you guys. And she starts using her powers on Legion of Superheroes. Fortress Lad
right.
leaps in.
That's what it, like, leaps on the grenade. And she's getting ready to steal their power. She's going to steal their memories of everything.
Yeah.
He leaps in like he's leaping on a grenade, like the soldier who leaps in front of the gunfire to take the to hit for the president.
And he lands the fortress.
And he and
yeah,
he,
it's a fortress. That's his power.
He protects them as a fortress, but he's being bombarded by these memory sucking rays the whole time. And,
yeah.
And so, and as are they, right? They're also getting like the
they
residual.
Got a little bit, but he's getting most of it.
And it's mostly just the echo of him saying to himself, "Never forget, never forget,"
never or forget. "Never surrender," or something like that.
And I think it was "never forget." It was okay. "Never forget, never forget, never forget." And it's just, and so by the end of the story,
he's a vegetable.
They've beaten her. He's now in permanent fortress form, and the other Legionnaires have forgotten where this building comes from. But,
yeah.
Wow. It's a giant fortress. You know what? We feel some weird attachment to this building. Yeah. We should live here.
Yeah. That is the darkest thing I've ever heard.
It's if you could see the art, it's even more.
It was Kurt Swan and Ty Templeton.
And Kurt Swan is like Kurt
Swan.
These are the Kurt Swan, who is my favorite comic book artist of all time, is not exactly the master of the macabre. So it wasn't.
It looks like a 60s.
It's a very bouncy little story. So, and I personally own the last page of that story on the artwork of that on the wall. Of the Legion standing in front of Fortress Lad.
But here's the thing. One, they must have built on top of him.
You eventually, yes.
Or built inside of him.
Built inside him. I think he was hollow when he was a fortress.
Yeah,
so.
There's nothing inside of him.
Right.
So they had to furnish
him. They had to furnish him.
Also, the one thing that bothers me about that story is only they see his head on top when they fly over.
I assume they
must have built over that.
No, it fades. I remember that. I remember as his power manifests, it sort of fades away. The head on top fades away, so it's just a big flat surface on top.
Okay.
So there is that.
Unless they just thought it was like some sort of old statue left over and they're doing remodeling and they just knock it off.
Take that off, Ultra Boy. Yes.
Horrific.
They don't seem too broken up that they have no memory of how this thing appeared.
No, they don't. If they just remembered the tragedy of having the fact that they were actually living inside an applicant,
yeah,
that would be horrific. But they never remembered. And we never made reference to that story again, so nobody else remembered either. So, well, I'm glad you're
able to... But I don't know if that's the... Well.
That is the darkest thing. I'm like, I'm still in, like, blood's drained from my face. That is the saddest thing I've ever heard.
Never forget.
Never forget.
Never forget.
And then she died. Like, the memory girl died, right?
I don't think she died. I think she just, I think she...
She applied again.
Her back died. Exactly.
That should be secret origin of someone else.
No, and then it worked. So, no, I think her power backfired on her. I'm going to go back and look at it this afternoon. Now you got me very curious. So
I'm going to borrow it, by the way. I'm knocking on your door.
Sure.
Okay. A cup of sugar, some...
And Secret Origins 46, please. With a great cover. I love that cover.
Yeah,
that
the blueprints.
Yeah, here, we'll run a graphic with it.
It's sort of like Dan Pinogian's cover for Iridium Bowl something.
We worked on the copy for that.
It's a blueprint. Nobody, but, you know, I remember nobody liked the cover, but on staff.
Yeah.
And I actually think I still have the original cover at home, too.
Yeah.
We're talking about Legion now, not Irredeemable.
No, we're talking about the original cover to the Secret Origins, which is just blueprints of headquarters, which is... It has logos on it. At least it has, like, you know, from the desk of Justice League of America or whatever. It just at least has that logo.
Little arrow saying "Big Heroes Inside" by me.
I'm a sucker for blueprints. I love blueprints in comics. I love, like, floor plans.
You love the idea that people were building stuff. That's why I like Damage Plan.
Yeah.
Dwayne McDuffie's thing. The idea that there was this whole group that had, like, built stuff after, Doctor Doom and Spider-Man have broken up the city.
Well, I'm glad we were able to bring up the level of discourse once more. So... I guess that'll do us for this time. Or not.
Or not. We can...
It's been 13 minutes with Mark Wade and Fortress Lad, and thanks for coming. This is good. We will talk about something more on point next time. If you've got suggestions, if you have questions you want raised, if you've got topics of discussion you want covered, then by all means, write to us on the message boards or send us an email at Boom, and we will do our best to accommodate you.
We can even start a thread of like... Now that you think about it, that was a horrific story.
Yes.
Like, of things that are seemingly lighthearted and fun, and then you're like, oh, wait a second, they've lived inside him, cut up pieces of him for decades.
But he protected them.
So that's what the way to look at it.
And they cut off his head while renovating.
That was not, these things happen.
What if someone comes along with the ability to regain people's memories?
Like, what if he snaps back into place? What if when they die, their natural lifespan, and he snaps back into place and he crushes everyone inside?
You have no Silver Age spirit whatsoever. You have no...
Yeah, it's like, how did he...
I'm smiling as I say that. I mean it in jest.
The power of somebody having a superpower to reinstill somebody else's memories? How ridiculous is that?
But this is the 30th century where it's like, oh, Infection Lass and Polar Boy. Like, Polar Boy was on the Legion of Substitute Heroes?
Infectious Lass,
Infectious
Lass.
Oh,
she, can give you any disease that she can imagine. So,
yeah.
They kept it clean.
Stone Boy, where his ability is to turn into a stone, and you kind of just drop him all of a sudden?
Yeah, he couldn't move. That was his downside.
I'm going to get you every Legion of Substitute Heroes. Those guys are great.
They are awesome. My favorites were not the Legion of Substitute Heroes. My favorites were the Legion of Substitute Substitutes, the guys who were like Porcupine Pete, who was like a walking porcupine who was not good enough to get into the Legion of Substitute Heroes, which is a truly sad indictment of your life.
Another entry on the forum.
Exactly. All right. Write in, let us know, let us hear from you, and we will see you next time. Thanks. It's Mark Wade.
Daphna.
And Ian.
Have a good time.